So we're on Daf Chavav Amud Aleph, and we're up to Vyishayahu Mai Boy Hasam. We're sort of like in the middle of a sugya, which started about midway down the Amud with the two dots, and quoted the Mishnah, and Rabbi Loi in the Mishnah had a certain version of Rabbi Eliezer the Tana. And according to that version, even in the case of a karpaf shalohu kaf ledira, you're allowed to carry in it. And even if the karpaf is as large as a base kur. And that's the way Rabbi Eliezer has his version of, Rabbi Eloi has his version of Rabbi Eliezer. We have a second version of Rabbi Eliezer. And that's the version of Chananya. According to Chananya's version, is afilu hi arboim sa' ki isratio shel melech. Even if this karpaf is as wide as, just 1 second, let me just get the numbers so I don't mess up here. Let's see, according to Rabbi Loi, is base kur, correct, base kur. And according to Chananya, it's even 30 saw. Now, if I remember correctly, trying to get the mathematics, it was a ratio of 30 to 40. Sorry. I'm really having a great day today. So the base core of Rabbi Loi's transmission is 30 saw, and according to the version of Chananya, they're all quoting the same Rabbi Eliezer, but Chananya's version is 40 saw. So I think it's a ratio of 3 to 4. And the Gemara is going to say that it all depends upon how we interpret an episode in Navi, in Yeshayahu Navi and his encounter with Chizkiyahu HaMelech, in which he's on his way to tell Chizkiyahu HaMelech that he's about to die. Chizkiyahu is on his deathbed, he's very sick. And then Yeshayahu is going to have a prophecy in which God will transmit to Yeshayahu that Chizkiyahu HaMelech is not going to die, that Chizkiyahu prayed and God accepted his prayers and was granted an extra 15 years of life. So the Pasuk in Melachim Beis describes something called Chatzer HaTichona, which is, so to speak, the back courtyard. And Yeshayahu HaNavi is in the back courtyard of Chizkiyahu's capital, we'll call it. And even before he enters into Chizkiyahu's entranceway, he already at that point gets the nevuah to the effect that that he will be notifying Chizkiyahu HaMelech that he'll have another 15 years to live. Now, in the pasuk which describes this Chatzer HaTichona, as we said, you know, this back courtyard. It says Ha'ir. I don't have the full pasuk in front of me. But anyway, it says in the pasuk Ha'ir. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. There's a kri and a ksiv here in this pasuk. And the ksiv, actually, in the text of the Tanakh, in Melachim Beis, it says Ha'ir. And the kri is that we read it Chatzer instead of Ha'ir. And now we're going to begin to understand the machlokes between Rabbi Loi and Chananya regarding Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because we're going to try to sort of balance or integrate the kri and the ksiv. And that's going to tell us that the chatzer, which is called in the language of the Brisa of Hananya, that's called Istaraya Shel Melech, which is, in our language, that's called a Rechava. Rechava means a plot of land. And it's behind the king's palace. So that's called Istaraya Shel Melech. And the Torah is telling you that that chatzer has the size of a city. And that's why the Kri is going to be chatzer, but the word in its written form is ha'ir. Okay, so now we have an equation between the chatzer, where, again, the nevuah is transmitted to Yeshaya, that chatzer, and the city, and meaning that the chatzer is going to be the size of a city. And again, we have to keep in mind that it's Eina Mukefes Hai. Wow. Haven't seen you in a while. And it's... How are you? So it's Eina Mukefes Ladira. And the question is, what kind of city are we talking about? So there's something called a city Beinonis, like Ayara Beinonis. That's the average size city. And there's something called an Ayara Gedola, a larger city. So here's where we get into the machlokes between Rabbi Eloi and Hananya. Rabbi Eloi holds Ayaros Beinonis Havyon. In other words, we're talking about these large cities are really average size large cities, which is the size of a base kur, which we said a base kur is 30 saw. That's the opinion of, just one second, that's the opinion, I think, of Rabbi Loi. Did I get that right? Rabbi Loi. And Marsover, but Hananya holds that this city is a larger city, even though, again, it's within the, it's not a metropolis, but it's within the purview of an average city, within that realm, range, but it's got Arboim saw. And the Torah is equating that with Chatzer, and the Torah is telling you, the Tanakh is telling you that you're allowed to carry in that Chatzer, even though it's Lo Hukaf Ledira. Lo Hukaf Ledira. And it's a very large area, and nevertheless you're allowed to carry there. So I'll just read to you the Bir. He writes, Mimasha Kara Posig L'Rechava Zu Chatzer. Right, because we said the Kri is Chatzer, Afshi Gedola Ke'ir, even though the Ksiv says it's as large as a city, the Eina Mukefes Ledira, is Yesh Lilmod Le'inyin Shabbos. This whole Kri and Ksiv is coming to teach you Aloch and Shabbos, that Afilu Mokom Gadol Ke'ir, the Lo Hukaf Ledira, Mutal Taltal Bo Ke'chatzer. In other words, the word Chatzer, which literally obviously means a courtyard, has a halachic significance to it. And it means a place where you're allowed to carry. It's a place that's attached to your house. It's an extension of your house. And the Torah is telling us that even though this chatzer was so large that it was like the size of a city, nevertheless, you're allowed to carry there like any chatzer. And he quotes in the footnote a Ritva. The Ritva points out that this is not a real Yalfusa, it's only what we call an Asmachta. And because, keep in mind, the whole enterprise of a Karpav, you know, that it's if it's Lo Hukaf Ledira, it's that whole Isur Tiltul is only Durabana. It's only Durabana. So you can't learn Doraisis from this, but the Chachamim had a what we call an Asmachta to this din based on the Pos. Okay. Now the Gemara that we wanted to start today, the Yeshaya, my boy Hasam. The Gemara asked the following question, the Yeshaya, my boy Hasam, meaning what was Yeshaya doing in this Rechava, you know, this wide open plot of land that was behind the house of Chizkio, and that's not where you go in and out of the house, so he was in the back of the house hanging out in this plot of land. That doesn't make much sense. So Amar Rabba Barba Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Melami Checholach is Kiyo, Veholach Yeshayov Yeshiva Al Pischa. Wow. Now here we get into some of the more metaphysical aspects of how do you protect a person who's very sick from dying, and that's called to be Kovei Yeshiva Al Pischa, which actually means literally that you get together Talmidim and you teach Torah on the entrance way. The Baal HaMoves wants to come in through this entrance way, but his entrance is blocked by the Talmid Chachamim and the Torah that they're studying. Now, the Gemara says that Amar Rabba Barachon Amar Rabbi Yochanan Melami Shecholach Hizkav Olach Hoshio Yeshayo V'Hoshiv Yeshiva Shal Talmid Lasek V'Tor Al Pischo on the entrance way of the house of Chizkio, so that the Malachim Ovis will not have the ability to enter in. Now again, this is only because Yeshayahu HaNavi had not yet received the prophecy that God hearkened to the prayers of Chizkio and granted him an extra stay of 15 years. Now, what we don't understand here is if Yeshayahu is trying to protect and save Chizkio, why does he establish this yeshiva outside in the backyard, so to speak? So I'll read to you the Marsha. The Marsha says, V'lo hemid Yeshayo yeshiva v'pesach hachotzer hachitzona. I'm sorry. Yeah. Shu makom knisa v'yitzia. Mishum shiyoda b'nevuah shemalach hamoves yovo der pesach harachova shachorei abayis. Now again, I don't understand why this is so. I can just take a stab at it, that maybe the Malach HaMoves was trying to be very, very tricky, you know, very wily, very, you know, he was like the Orem Mikol Adam, so he wanted to fake everybody out and come in through the back door. But little did the Malach HaMoves realize that Yeshayahu got wind of that through his prophetic Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore he established the yeshiva in the Rechava, which was the open area Achorei Abayis, behind the palace of Chizkio. That's the Marsha. Now, he adds the following. The Efshar, perhaps, Hatam Shehigia Malach HaMoves Derech Achorei Abayis, Mishum Shebizmanom Shalom Ba'ir, V'ein Rishus Malach HaMoves Olechus Mokum Sholchim Harbei B'nei Adam. Again, these are all metaphysical assumptions about the Malach HaMoves, and apparently the Malach HaMoves likes to avoid crowds. He likes to do something stealthily, you know, when there are not too many people around. And therefore, he comes through the back door. Yeshayahu, in order to block the Malach's entry into Chizkio's palace, he sets up a yeshiva in that rechava. So now the Gemara asks the following. Mikan l'talmud chacham shecholosh moshivin yeshiva al pischa v'lav milsi. It can't be. Why? You cannot derive from this the conclusion that we should set up a yeshiva on the entranceway into the house of a talmud chacham who's ill. Because dilma osi ligriye beis satan. Now I'm going to give you my interpretation and then we'll read the biur. My humble opinion is that what the Gemara has in mind is that what the Satan is going to do is, the Satan is the Malach HaMoves, he's going to attack one of the Talmidei Chachamim who are sitting there, one of the scholars or the young disciples who are learning Torah in that plot of land in this case. But let's see what he says. He says, Shemek Sheyira Malach HaMoves Shemizgarimbo Umonim Imenu Laharog, when he becomes aware of the fact that they are countering, you know, they're joining forces to counter against him, and they're trying to prevent him from killing, is then Yovol Isgaros Bioso Talmud Chacham Lahargo, that somehow he will be able to overcome all of their, all of their efforts to protect the Talmud Chacham, and you know, once he gears up, I guess, you know, with double adrenaline forces, he will now succeed. And basically, I think what the bottom line is, at least according to this interpretation, which is based on the Ritva, is that Malach HaMoves has his ways, and you don't want to start up with him. That's called Lizgaros Po. You don't want to antagonize him. Maybe that's a good word. You know, let's not antagonize the Talmud Chacham. Once the Malach HaMoves realizes we're trying to let's not antagonize the Malach HaMoves. Once the Malach HaMoves realizes that we are somehow fighting him, you know, we're going against him and we're confronting him, he'll double his efforts. So that's, you know, don't play with fire. This reminds me of the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says that with regard to Rishoyim, there's something called Hashon Mesacheches Lo. You know, when there's a moment in time when the Rasha is granted a kind of a free reign, and at that point, even a righteous person should not confront the Rasha, because you know, it's a kind of a dangerous situation. Okay. Then the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Law says in the Mishnah that Ken Shamati Heimenu, this is what I heard from Rabbi Eliezer, Anshe Chotzer Sheshochach Echod V'lo Erev. Oh, so now we are about to embark upon a major, major sugya. What happens if you have many homes that share a common courtyard and we need to get an Erev Chatzeros, correct? And one of the members of that chotzer, meaning one of the house owners, let's say, well, Gemara is going to give an example, we have five different homeowners that share one courtyard. One of them has forgotten to participate in the Erev. Now, the law is, and these are sugyas later on in Masecht Erevim, that in a case where someone needs the Eruv, but he wasn't part of the Eruv, I'm talking now about an Eruv Chatzeros, then he undergoes a process, a halachic legal process, which is called Mevatel Rishus. And what is Bitel Rishus? He basically declares that he doesn't own his property. Now, when we say he doesn't own his property, we're not talking about Choshen Mishpat, we're not talking about legal monetary ownership. He certainly still owns his property, he hasn't done a kinyan. But as far as the laws of Erevin is concerned, this is one of the laws that allow for flexibility that the Chachamim, when they established the law of Erev, they built into the law of Erevin this kind of a loophole, if you will, which is called Bitel Rishus. And through Bitel Rishus, basically, he is giving over his Rishus, his private ownership of the property, to the rest of the gang, so to speak. And now if there are another four homeowners, they now, not only do they have a partnership in the Chatzer, their partnership even includes his Chelek in the Chatzer. We'll call him Reuven, just to give him a name. So Reuven was Mevatel's Rishus, and as a result, the others, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar, they now take over his ownership. Because the viability of an Erev Chatzeros is contingent on the fact that the Chatzer belongs to all five batim. And in order for the Chatzer to belong to all five batim, we have to make sure that all of the five are part of that Erev and joined together in this one common partnership ownership over the Chatzer. But one of these guys is not part of the Erev, so he could be Mevatel his Rishus. Now, to be Mevatel Rishus requires A plus B. A is the Chatzer, and B is his bias. And there's going to be an issue here that we're going to get to a little bit later on, What if he was only mevatel his chatzer but not his bayis? Okay, that's an issue. Right now, we are going to address a different issue in the case of bittul rishus. With bittul rishus, this particular homeowner who is mevatel his rishus, he does not have rights to the eruv. He's not part of the eruv. Of course, bittul rishus, in all due respect, but that doesn't mean that he's part of the eruv. You know, he hasn't contributed a pas for this eruv. What does bittul rishus accomplish? What it accomplishes is that all the other members, the other four homeowners, can now carry from their, each one respectively, their house into the chatzer. That's number one. So again, there are two things that are absolutely clear and unquestionable, uncontestable. Number one is that the fellow who is mevatel is rishus, we call him Reuven, he himself cannot carry from his house into the chatzer. And number two, what is also undeniable, is that the other four homeowners are allowed to carry from their homes into the chatzer. Or back, or vice versa, right? Okay. Now we get to the issue that we want to address. Would these four homeowners be permitted to carry from Reuven's house into the chatzah? And the first opinion that says yes is... Just one second, am I switching around the opinions? I think I got that right, although when she said, how come I can't read this? Very good. Now I got it. Beso Asur, which means that Reuven himself, who is Mevatel is Rishus, he's not allowed to carry from his house out to the chatzer or vice versa, but, I mean, he doesn't spell it out, but the implication is that the other bnei chatzer, the other four house owners, are allowed to take from Reuven's house out into the chatzer. Meaning, from their perspective, Reuven's house is included in the chatz, in the eruv. Why is it included in the eruv? Because since he was mevatel his rishus to them, they now, so to speak, possess, they take over his bayis, and through the eruv, they now are allowed to carry into the chatzer. So, to the same extent that, let's say, Shimon is allowed to carry from Levi's house into the chatzer, and vice versa, or Shimon can carry from Yehuda's house into the chatzer, Yehuda can carry from Shimon's house into the chatzer, etc., etc., because all the members and the participants in the Erev Chatzeres now have one common ownership in the chatzer, but that's not going to help Reuven because he didn't participate in this eruv, so he's not allowed to take anything from his house out to the chatzer. But insofar as the balance of the group, meaning from Shimon and on, they have taken over, so to speak, swallowed up Reuven's house into their eruv. And Reuven's house is also included in their Eruv, which allows them to carry from Reuven's house into the Chatzah. That's the version of Ravi Lot. Now, we get to a dissenting version that is quoted from a Mishnah later on in Daf Samach Tes. But we have a Mishnah in the case of someone who forgot to make the Eruv, together with the other Bnei HaChatzer, and he was Mevatel as Rishus, and the Mishnah says, Beso Osur Lahotzi Ulahachnis Lo Vilahem, which means the following, that whether it means he or the other members of the Chatzer are not allowed to carry from his house, meaning Reuven, out into the Chatzer. That's why it says, Asur lo vilahem. The lo is referring to Reuven, and lahem is a reference to the other four members of this Chatzer. He, Reuven, cannot be motzi or machnis into the Chatzer or from the Chatzer into his house. Neither can they, the other four families that live in this Chatzer, they cannot carry from Reuven's house into the Chatzer. So we now have a contradiction, two versions that contradict each other about the status of Mevatel Reshusa. When someone is not part of the Erev and he's Mevatel Reshus, would the other members of the Chatzer who are part of the Erev be allowed to carry from Reuven's house into the Chatzer and back? According to the first version, which is that of Rav Eloi, there is a permissibility for the other members of the Chatzer to carry something from Reuven's house out into the Chatzer, according to the version of the Mishnah later on in Masechta Erevin, to the same extent that Reuven himself cannot carry from his house out into this Chatzer, so too the other members of the Chatzer cannot carry from Reuven's house out into the Chatzer. So Gemara now says the following. Omar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Omar Rav Sheshes Lo Kasha. You should not be upset by this contradiction. And why not? So here we turn to Daf Chavav Amid Beis. Harab Yeliezer V'Harab Bono. So now, again, we're really embarking upon a brand new sugya. A machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer, who again is being quoted in our Mishnah here by Rabbi Loi and the Rabbana. And it's Rabbi Eliezer who will allow the other Bnei HaChatzer, just 1 second, let me get this right. Is Rabbi Eliezer the first day is what? I'm sorry, I always the mathematics always. Is mutter. Okay. Right. So now Rabbi Loi's quote of the Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Ezer is he's gonna say mutter. Oh good, mutter. That the other members of the Chatzer are allowed to carry from Reuven's bias out into the Chatzer. And the Mishnah later on, that reflects the Shita of the Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon are of the opinion that the other members of the Chatzer are not permitted to carry from Reuven's Reshus out into the Chatzer. Kishatimtse Loma, this is Orav Sheish is talking, that if you'll be very meticulous and analytic about it, I'm going to reveal to you what they're arguing about. Lidivre Rabbi Eliezer, Hamavatil Rishus Chatzero is Rishus Beso Bitel. Even though his, again, when I say his, I mean Reuven, even though his statement was, quote, I am being mevatel my chatzer. He said nothing. He didn't whisper a word about his bias. Nevertheless, the premise is, by implication, that he was mevatel his bias. Even though, again, I can't overemphasize the fact that he didn't say so explicitly. And therefore, he is living in his house. Reuven is living in his house as a guest. He's a guest of the other members of the Chatzer because he was mevatel his possession over not only the Chatzer, but he withdrew his possession over the bias. And now that bias again in quotation marks, belongs to the Bnei HaChatzer. And insofar as they made an Erev is concerned, they can carry now from his bias into the Chatzer. L'Rabbanan, on the other hand, HaMevatel Rishus Chatzero, but Rishus Beisel Lo Bitel. Although he made a statement that he was being Mevatel his ownership over the Chatzer, which would surely facilitate the ability of the other Bnei HaChatzer to create an Eruv, because again, if he's not Mevatel his Chatzer, then there's no way, no how, that that Eruv could be viable. But it was just based on Lobitel. He didn't say a word about his bias, and he didn't give over his ownership of the bias, transfer it over to the other Bnei HaChatzer, and therefore, the Bnei HaChatzer have no ownership rights. Again, when I say ownership, I'm so scared to use that word because we're not really talking about ownership. This is all like a fictitious ownership, which is only relevant to the laws of Erev. But they didn't acquire any ownership whatsoever in his bias, and therefore his bias was not included in the Erev. On the other hand, since he was Masalik himself, he removed himself from the Chatzer, therefore the four members of the Chatzer, the other four, they have a right to set up an Erev on this Chatzer, which they own the Chatzer, so to speak, as one partnership, union, and one entity. So the Gemara says, Pshita. The Gemara wants to embellish Rav Sheshes and say, well, Rav Sheshes must have added something a little bit more than that, because obviously, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he was Mevatel his bias. Otherwise, how could Rabbi Eliezer assume that the other members of the Chatzer could possibly be allowed to carry from his bias out into the Chatzer? And it's also equally obvious that according to Rabbanu, he was not Mevatel his bias. Hence, they cannot carry from his bias out into the Chatzer. So can we, in a sense, broaden and dramatize the statement of Rav Sheshes so that it has a little bit more of a chiddush to it? Amar Rachva. This Amora by the name of Rachva, his name has nothing to do with the sugya that we learned today called the sugya of Rachva, as an open plot. So this is purely coincidental. Anyway, so this Amora by the name of Rachva, he says, Ana v'Rav Huna bar Chinina, me and my good colleague, my good friend Rav Huna, Tergamina, we heard an answer to this question, meaning we heard a further elucidation of Rav Sheshes' analysis. Lo nitzricha, and we don't need Rav Sheshes Ella to teach us the following. So again, the basic understanding of the Tam HaMachlokas between Rabbi Elias and Rabbanan is crystal clear, even without Rav Sheshes Ella. But Rav Sheshes wanted to call our attention to the implication of this machlokes lechamisha sheshruim bechatzer echad v'shachach echemem v'lo irev shele divrei Rabbi Eliezer k'shu mevatel rishuso ein tzorech levatel lechol echad v'echad v'l'rabbona k'shu mevatel rishuso tzorech levatel lechol echad v'echad. Meaning the following: Rav Sheshes is taking the machlokes chin Rabbi Eliezer and Chachomim one step further. At stage number one, and this was clear before Rav Sheshes appeared on the horizon, the machlokas was about when a person is mevatel his chatzer, is he very magnanimous about it, so to speak, and he includes not only his chatzer but also his bias, allowing other members of the chatzer to carry from his bias into the chatzer. That was clear before Rav Sheshes. Now, Rav Sheshes wants to extend this machlokas, or the scope of the application of this machlokas, to another issue, and that is the following. That let's say Reuven made the following declaration. Instead of saying, quote, I'm a vatel my reshus, my chotzer, to every other member, that's Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar. Instead of that, he made a statement, I am being mevatel my chatzer to Shimon. And he singled out one individual member of the chatzer. Now, if we take that statement literally, and we don't expand it beyond, then What's going to happen is now that Reuven, through his bitul reshus, has not solved the problem. He is still undermining the entire enterprise and the viability of this Eruv Chatzeros, because it's not enough for him to be mevatel his reshus to one of the various members of the Chatzah. He has to be mevatel his reshus to the entire group of all the Bnei HaChatzah. And says Rav Sheshes, if we take the approach of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that even if he was mevatel only reshus only on the chotzer, we can expand that to include the bias itself, says Rav Sheshes, therefore Rabbi Eliezer would be willing to expand the bitul reshus from Shimon to include Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar as well. In other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we're not going to say, well, this man only revealed his intention to be mevatel his chotzer and not his bias. No, Rabbi Eliezer says explicitly that we're going to take his intention and broaden it to include even his bias. Says Rav Sheshes, if that be the case, then even if he only revealed his intention to be mevatel his reshus, his chotzer, to Shimon, we're going to expand that, and we're going to assume that he wants to be very magnanimous, and he wants to be mevatel reshus l'chol echad v'echad, which means on behalf of every single member of the chotzer, the other four families that share that chotzer. And it's enough that he's mevatel his reshus to one of them, and we're going to take over now, and we're going to say that he's very magnanimous, and he's bittul, he's ba'ayim yofa, you know, he's very kind and considerate. And when he was mevatel it for one of them, he really had in mind, so to speak, to be mevatel it even for those whose names he did not mention in his official proclamation of bittul. And that's a halach that we can only derive from Rav Sheshes in terms of Rav Sheshes's interpretation of Rabbi Eliezer. Only Rav Sheshes gives us that extra mileage to expand Rabbi Eliezer from A, which is to be mevatel chatzis, mevatel abayis as well, to be mevatel from one person, vis-a-vis one person in the Bnei HaChatzah, to be mevatel to all the members of the Chatzah. That's Rav Sheshes. Now, what would Rav Sheshes say according to the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon don't have this principle of Ayin Yofeh, you know, that we go beyond what he revealed. We're absolutely restricted to what he revealed, and therefore he only revealed that he wants to be mevatel his what? His chotzer, not his bias. And therefore, kishu mevatel reshus atzok levatel l'kol echad v'echad. And here, Rashi adds the following point. Dibra maskal haki gar sinon. Rashi says, v'im lo bita l'kol echad v'echad. If Reuven's proclamation, he was megaladas, that he's being mevatel only to Shimon. Again, I'm just choosing Shimon out of the hat. It could be to Levi, to then, Asurim kulam letaltel b'chotzer. The entire enterprise of Erev Chatzeros has been completely torpedoed, and it's totally invalid. Now, in the footnote, he quotes a Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz, Sha'oso echet shebitalos reshuso mutalo lahotzi mibeso l'chotzer. Pile plan. The Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz disagrees with Rashi. Rashi says that if Reuven was mevatel his chotzer to Shimon, and that's all he said, then according to the Rabbanon, Zot Rashi, even Shimon will not be able to carry from his house into the chotzer. Because as we said before, this invalidates the whole enterprise of the Meir of Chatzes. Comes to Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, he says, nay, as far as Shimon is concerned, the Erev is viable, and Shimon is permitted to carry from his house into the chotzer. As far as Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar are concerned, they would not be able to carry out from their house into the chotzer. This requires a lot of study. What the Rabbeinu Peretz is sort of
you know, he's stimulating our brain over here to think about a partial Erev Chatzeros in which a person who's one of five owners of Batim around, the, you know, circling around this Chatzer, surrounding this Chatzer, only he is setting up an Erev Chatzeros, whereas the other four are not setting up the Erev Chatzeros. Now, I understand very well why Reuven is not setting up an Erev Chatzeros, because he was Shachach. He forgot to participate in the Erev. And his Bittul Rishus can only help the others. But can it help the others when he only had in mind Shimon and not Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar? And comes from Ben Peretz and he has a one-man Chatzer, you know, I'm sorry, a one-man Erev Chatzeros. And I don't know how that works. Now the Gemara says, Ukemana Oz Lahadisanya, which Tana, which Shita is reflected in the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Chamisha Sheshruyim B'chotzer Echad, V'shochach Echad Be'em V'lo Irev, K'shumavata Rishuso, Ein Tzarech Levata Rishus L'kol Echad V'echad. The Brisa goes on record as saying that if Reuven forgot to participate in the Eruv, he doesn't have to be Mavata's Rishus to all the other four homeowners, but it's sufficient that he's Mavata Rishus to one of them. K'shumavata Rishuso, Ein Tzarech Levata Rishus L'kol Echad V'echad. Keman, K'Rabbi Eliezer. And this will, this price of this ruling will be attributed to Rabbi Eliezer, again, in the light of Rav Sheshis' interpretation, or shall we call it extension of Rabbi Eliezer, that Ayin Yofeh, in Rabbi Eliezer's frame, it works in two ways. It works, number one, to expand the location from Chatzah to include the bias, and to expands to include the personalities, right, the identities of not only the person that he mentioned explicitly in his Bittul Rishus, but to include the other members of the Chatzer as well. Rav Kahana Masni Hochi, everything that we learned until now in terms of Rav Sheshes and the transmission of Rav Sheshes is Rav Kahana's transmission. And that's how we understood, or he received the words of Rav Sheshes to explain the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan and Mishnah. And Rechava and Rav Huna, as we saw before, explained that interpretation as well. However, Rav Tumyome, we have an alternative presentation from an Amora by the name of Rav Tumyome, Masni Hochi. Right, he has a slightly different transmission. I don't think there's any substantive difference, but in terms of who said what, so to speak, Keman Azla Ha Disanya. Rav Sheshis himself had this brisa, this very last brisa, and the brisa says that he doesn't have to invite Rishus to all five members of the Chatzer, but one is sufficient. Is Chamisha Shruyim V'chotzer Echad V'shoch Echad Mevlo Yiv K'shu Mavata Rishu Seyed Tzorech Levata Rishu Seyed Kol Echad V'echad Keman Omer Av Huna Bar Yehuda Omer Av Sheshes Keman Ki Rabbi Eliezer. So it wasn't that Rabbi Sheshes had made his original comment on the Mishnah and the transmission of Rabbi Eloi in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, but rather on this Brisa, Okay then. So where are we up to? Amale Rav Papa Le Abaye. Okay, so this is where we'll stop. And I'll wish you a good day.